Shooters Radio Universe!
It's a new day! Yes, it is!
I am Vaughn Johnson.
You got me mad now.
You know, you got a back tickle.
Feeling good.
Well, the skeptics and all the people have a little bit of...
Let me do this again.
Oh, it's live, pal. Sorry.
Who you riding the bicycle in this arena?
With my man, Pots and Pans, Nick Bacone.
That's me.
I don't know what the kid is that was riding it, but he ain't on it when they brought it to the ring.
Smile at you and kick your face off.
I'm down with that.
Kick you some mail! And I have half the brain that you do.
But I don't like it when things aren't going my way.
Don't you dare be sour!
He don't know nothing else.
You know that wrestling.
Right, he know that wrestling, bro.
Give me a hell yeah. I said give me a hell yeah.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen out there in internet land, and welcome to episode 251 of The Straight Shooters. My name is Vaughn Johnson, and I'm joined as always by my main man, Pots and Pans, Nick Bacone, a Philly voice and Philly influencer, and we got yet another fantastic show ahead of us tonight. We're going to talk about current events. I know the last couple weeks we've done off and on some of these deep dives. We did one about No Holds Barred, the movie, last week. It was a dope show. If you are interested in that kind of thing, go check it out. But this week we're going to talk about some current events because a lot has happened since we last recorded. We're going to talk about AEW NXT ratings. We're going to talk about AEW and concussions. We're going to talk about WWE and their terrible classification of the wrestlers, of them being independent contractors, and how that's getting some mainstream attention, especially from a particular politician. But before we get into all of that, let me do my weekly check-in with my main man, Pots and Pans, Nick Bacone. How you doing tonight, my good brother?
Feeling a little normal tonight, Vaughn. It's I got Thursday Night Football to my right. I've got the Phillies game to my right. Kind of just waiting for their inevitable collapse against the Marlins. But nonetheless, tonight on September 10th, 2020, a little sense of normalcy in this, what's been a crazy year. I know we're far from the end of the coronavirus pandemic, but tonight hopefully is a good night for our show.
Oh, it's always good nights for our show, no doubt.
True that.
But yeah, I also have Thursday Night Football up on my TV screen, and as much as this feels normal to see Thursday Night Football on, they show a shot of Andy Reid, and he's got that big face mask over his face, and he's reminded of, like, oh, it ain't that normal, and he's got his things all fogged up on he's breathing into it, so that's an interesting thing he has to deal with. Doesn't seem fun, but Thursday Night Football is on. I saw this earlier. Somebody called this the North American sports equinox. That is the first time in history that 10 major sports leagues in our country are happening at the same time. Because, of course, you got all four of the majors happening. NFL, MLB, NHL, NBA. And, of course, you got PGA, you got golf, you got tennis, you got, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. WNBA, you got a whole bunch of stuff going on. But right now, NFL is kicking off, and it's happening. It's a happening right now.
I did not even realize that. How about that?
Yeah, it's happening, bro. It's happening. Obviously, this year has been quite unique, and so that's what's happening right now. Hopefully, this is the last time this ever happens.
Hopefully.
At least for another 100 or so years when we're not here anymore.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's a wild time, and a wild time in pro wrestling, especially far as ratings, because for the first time in a long time, AEW hit over 1 million viewers on Wednesday night for Dynamite. Congratulations, AEW.
Wow,
back over a million.
Almost a year later. Okay. No, just kidding. I was very happy to see that coming off a pay-per-view. Not their best pay-per-view either. Doing a strong number, so
we'll talk about that pay-per-view.
Good. Right, yeah, and so that's good for them overall. A very strong Dynamite show, so definitely well deserved.
Yeah, to me, it's interesting because we talked about it last week, and how NXT, their numbers went up when they went on Tuesday, and they went on Tuesday again, and guess what? Their numbers were still steady. I don't know if they went up again. I don't remember the exact numbers, but they went to 800.
Yeah.
Still in the 800,000 range, which is good.
Yeah.
I think it's good for either show to be in that 800,000, 900,000 range. Is it great? No, but it's good. And for NXT specifically, they win a top 20 in the demo, which they rarely are on Wednesdays, especially when they go up against AEW.
Yeah.
And then you got for AEW, when they run unopposed on Wednesdays, they can get over 1 million viewers finally, which is like, maybe this whole Wednesday Night War thing wasn't really good for either company, right? Even though it was dope for us to be have that nostalgia of like, oh man, just like back in the 90s when we can flip back and forth and watch two shows at once. But really, when you really think about it, having both shows in the same night split the audience, and it, at worst, it split the audience, and for the and probably at best for AEW, most people chose AEW. But clear, if there's only one show on each night, people will watch. And I know I've made the statement in the past that the fact that neither one of these shows could top 1 million was a sign to me that the wrestling business just ain't that hot right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad to be kind of wrong about that, at least for 1 week, and seeing that AEW did top 1 million. And it shows me that, hey, people are interested. It's just that they got to be on separate nights. I think it's beneficial for both shows if they're on separate nights. It's clear. The numbers bear it out. And I know that the AEW show this past week was a post-pay-per-view show, which usually they see a big bump. But I remember way back last year, in the beginning of Dynamite's life cycle, or whatever you want to call it, I was like, yo, they should be able to hover around 1 million every single week. Now, I didn't account for each show splitting, you know, the audience, or a pandemic kind of affecting the ratings. Didn't account for that at all.
Yeah.
But I think AEW could stick around this 1 million mark. I don't think that's impossible for them to do. I got, from the beginning, the curiosity is still there. The people root for them. They want AEW to succeed. They have the more, just I guess, the more exciting product right now, because it's barely a year old. It's not even a year old as far as Dynamite. So I don't see why AEW can't be 1 million viewers or a little slightly less than every single week. And if you're NXT, get off Wednesdays. I hope USA cooperates. I'm sure USA would love to keep charting in the demos in the top 20 every week. I'm sure they like being in 800,000 range every week as opposed to the 600,000 and 700,000 and not charting at all in the demos. So I think it works for everybody. Yay, everybody wins. AEW, technically, I called it months ago. They'll win the Wednesday Night War.
You're the first one that declared the war over.
I declared it over twice, if I remember correctly, but at least once. I think I did it before the pandemic too, which is wild.
Yeah.
But it just makes total sense for each show to be on separate nights, so each, you know, for the fan bases can enjoy each show on their own, give it their undivided attention, and each show can prosper and work out, and that's great.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I've read a tweet maybe a week ago that said like USA is probably really happy with NXT's rating on Tuesday nights, and USA is not going to make the decision to move NXT. I mean, they could suggest
it. If they really wanted to, too, though, they could through the network.
Maybe if they offered more money. I think WWE's main objective here is to take viewers away from Dynamite, and that's, I did see a tweet earlier, I forget his name, but he said AEW's rating this week is exactly the reason why you'll see NXT stay on Wednesdays. But I kind of believe the complete opposite, because I think USA is going to try hard to have them move it to Tuesdays because they don't care about the war. WWE is the one that cares about taking viewers away from Dynamite, but USA doesn't care, because if they could just move NXT to another night, they're going to get those viewers back that they lose to Dynamite. So, I mean, the last 2 weeks kind of show that trend. And I know it's only 2 weeks, but if you're USA, you want to be like, hey, like, can you please move to Tuesday? But I don't know if they can, like, force them to. And knowing WWE, that's going to be, they're probably going to want more money, because God forbid they move NXT, because you know what the optics are going to look like. They're losing, and oh my God, you know, they don't want to be like that. But I agree. I think it's great for us if that happens. Sad for Impact, but you know, it's, you won't have people choosing sides as much. I think both AEW and NXT fans that watch both shows will be less annoying, I guess that's a good word to put it, because, God, I just can't stand the NXT going like, well, if this happened in WWE, you guys would be killing it. And then,
oh, it's still happening. It's still going to happen. We're going to do it some later on.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
But I think it wouldn't be like filling my timeline, so crazily where people are just trolls to be trolls. And I follow a lot of
fault. Let's be honest. If WWE had did a Mimosa Mayhem match, they'd be getting flambasted for it. So let's be honest. But no, we're going to do it some more tonight. But no, I see your point.
Yeah. So I'm over the whole flipping back and forth. I got two TVs, mainly for sports, when they came back, so I can keep track. But, you know, I was kind of using it for AEW and NXT, and, you know, even using two TVs to keep track of that, it's not really garnering my interest. In the last 2 weeks, I was really into NXT and really into Dynamite on separate occasions. So for me personally, having them on separate nights works for me, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. You know, I think the ratings prove that.
To your point about USA wanting them to move, I think because USA is paying, or NBC Universal is paying over $1 billion for WWE. And technically, it's not for US, not for NXT, but it's only for Raw. Right. I think they're paying for. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the deal is. I could be wrong, but they definitely have $1 billion committed to WWE. I think they could sway WWE into making that move. Like, and if you're WWE, why wouldn't you? Why? Yeah, you want to take viewers away from AEW, but at the expense of your own viewership, because it only hurts them too. Like,
right.
Their viewers go down too if they're staying on the same night as AEW. So it doesn't help you none. Also, you're losing to AEW every single week. Doesn't look good from an optic standpoint. Mm-mm. So this way, you get off of that night. Yeah, you admit defeat. Yeah, maybe you admit defeat. But
and you could
you lost.
Beat Impact.
Right, but your third show loss. It's not like they beat Raw every week and you had to move Raw for Monday nights, which is an institution.
Yeah.
That'd be catastrophic for WWE.
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking about Raw. We're talking about NXT, which they can be flexible with NXT. You know, Raw, like I said, it's an institution. On Monday nights, Raw has never consistently been on another night except Monday, outside of the rare occasion that they're preempted and they were put on Raw Thursday. Right, or whatever, it was Saturday Night Raw, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So that would be like a whoa, that would be bad if they had to move off of Monday nights. But this is NXT. This is not even their second show, it's their third show. So, yeah, you admit defeat, but at the end of the day, it helps you because you can get. Maybe your floor is 800,000, and maybe you can, some weeks you can crack a million, I should say. Yeah. And in AEW, I think they should hover around a million. That's just my opinion, but again, time will tell. I think it's beneficial for both products, for both companies to get off the same night. And WWE is the one that should move, not AEW. They got Wednesday nights to themselves. They earned the right to stay on Wednesday nights. WWE has not. Get off Wednesday nights, put NXT on Tuesdays, and everybody wins. So,
yeah, I can't see them just putting it back on the network either. NXT is going to stay on USA. So
you can't put that toothpaste back in the tube.
Yeah. I like that one. Yeah, so you got to move it to Tuesday or Thursday, but I doubt Thursday is going to work. So Tuesday seems to be like the right place for NXT right now.
And I'm saying this not knowing what USA airs on Tuesday. I don't know if they have a major show that airs on Tuesdays.
Law and Order reruns.
I mean, maybe. But, you know, I don't know. But maybe they can't move to Tuesdays because USA has a major show on Tuesday nights. Maybe that's the thing. But
you know
if
what
they
miss?
Don't.
Tuesday night fights. Remember that?
I do remember that. That was on, wasn't that ESPN too? Or was that Saturday night? Friday night fights on ESPN.
Friday night, yeah. So my dad was always watching that stuff. And I remember they would talk about, they would advertise Raw on Mondays and then Tuesday were Tuesday night fights on USA. And I was like, man, it's amazing how things stick in my craw.
Let me see here. I'm looking at USA's website right here. And for next Tuesday, September 15th, okay, they got a lot of Law and Order SVU. All
right. I was right.
From 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. It's nothing but what? Law and Order SVU.
Oh, my God. They're just like True TV with Impractical Jokers.
Pretty much. And I understand now it's different because a lot of shows weren't able, I guess they weren't able to shoot original content because of the pandemic.
Yeah, but I'm not even sure how many original shows they have at this point.
Well, they had like stuff like Suits, I remember, and Psych. I don't know if those shows are still going, though.
Yeah, right. Hmm.
So they had original shows, but maybe they would have had some now if the pandemic didn't happen.
Yeah.
I don't
true,
know.
True.
But they got nearly, 11 hours of Law and Order reruns scheduled for next Tuesday. So I think they can squeeze in an episode of NXT from 8 to 10, you know. Unless the episodes of Law and Order SVU titled Fashionable Crimes, Assaulting Reality, or Imposter are just so important that you can't, you know, you can't move them. But I think they can.
And maybe they hit millions of viewers. I don't even know.
Maybe. I mean, Law and Order is a dope show. So
I don't really watch it that much.
If I catch it at the right time, I can get into it.
I used to watch Criminal Minds a lot. That was a cool show.
Criminal Minds is dope. Yeah. A show like Criminal Minds, I suggest you getting into if you like Criminal Minds.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix. It's called Mindhunters.
Ah.
My girlfriend introduced me to it. It's on Netflix. It's pretty good. It's about the FBI when they first started interviewing like serial killers. And they first started knowing what serial killers were. Because in the 60s and 70s, they didn't know what serial killers were. They never heard of that before. So it wasn't a thing that people could just kill for nothing. Mm-hmm. So they get into the psychology of all that. It's kind of good. I think it's good. So if you like Criminal Minds, I think you like Mindhunters as well. Yeah. So free advertising for these shows, by the way. But yeah. So it looks like, you know, unless USA just really loves Law and Order SVU reruns, Tuesday nights are clear. And the fortunate part for NXT is they had some flexibility because they're not on TNT where they got to worry about the NBA playoffs, which is going on right now. We're in the second round. Some teams, I think the Heat are in the conference finals. The Lakers, I think, could get to the conference finals tonight if they beat Houston. I think that's the case. I'm not sure if that's the way the series is. But either way, we're almost there. So we got another month or so of NBA basketball. Mm-hmm. You know,
especially with that inevitable Lakers-Clippers series, that's going to be the real NBA Finals for a lot of people. So
for a lot of people, Lakers up 2-1. So if they win tonight, they go up 3-1, and they're up, they're up 8 with 2 minutes left. So
oh wow, that's it. Just 8?
I almost said 18. They're only up 8, but So NXT, move to Tuesdays. Help yourself out. Most importantly, help yourself. But it also helps AEW, which helps the wrestling business, which gives everybody leverage, the wrestlers leverage at the end of the day. But speaking of wrestlers, Nick, I know you've been waiting, you've been chomping at the bit for almost a week to talk about Matt Hardy and injury and concussion, but not a concussion. So I will let you take the floor and have at it and rant all you want, baby.
Man,
it's all yours.
I have no idea how long this will take. I will try not to take up a lot of time.
I'm going to sit back and enjoy my my margarita here.
Adult beverage.
Yeah.
So I don't really go into tweet storms that much on Twitter. I like to keep things light and for stupid laughs here and there, posting stupid videos here and there, stupid memes. My own content with like radio calls and stuff like that. So I have like kind of a brand that I adhere to, as a light and fun Twitter account at Nick Bacone, by the way. So I'm sure a lot of people got tired of me. I think I tweeted every single day since Saturday night about Matt Hardy, Tony Khan, AEW, concussions. I felt like I was living in the Twilight Zone. For those who saw All Out, I did watch it live. I did see what happened to Matt Hardy live. So obviously, like everyone else out there, I was very concerned about his well-being. It was clear that he was concussed. And for me, it was, I don't view concussions in the same vein I did before. Now, I did suffer a concussion a long time ago. Didn't realize, you know, what was going on. And it really messed me up. And it wasn't even from a sport. It was like on Thanksgiving, and we were playing like outside, you know, touch football game. And I had my body turned, and somebody threw the football at me and hit me in the head. And I didn't think anything of it, like, haha, that was funny or whatever. But that night, you know, I slept over my friend's house, and he had said that during the night I was like twisting and turning and like complaining about my head and everything. And I don't remember any of that. So, you know, I had a few like issues with my eyes and head the next few days. Didn't really understand what was going on. I didn't even know or put two and two together that it was because I got hit in the head with a football. Like, that was the one common thing that happened where, you know, I like, well, did I hit my head here? Like, how did I get, why does my head feel like this? I never get headaches. So that was the one thing I came back to, so that, you know, probably started everything. So it wasn't fun. And, you know, my mom called the doctor at the time, and I didn't go see a doctor, but he said it sounds like a mild concussion. So I had a mild concussion from a doctor on the phone, and I felt like utter crap. So imagine Matt Hardy knocked out, slammed his head on concrete. By the way, I slammed my head on, I was snowboarding like 10 years ago up in Bluebell, PA, and I totally took a fall, and I smacked my head on the hill really hard. I couldn't believe I wasn't knocked out, honestly. That was one of the hardest times, like my head smacked the ground. You know, it's happened a few times, but the hardest I can remember. I'm still awake, though, and clearly I wasn't all with it. And 10 years ago, it was 2010, not a lot of people understood concussions the way we do now, and even doctors didn't understand that much. Like, we're learning more and more and more and more. So I guess that's kind of like laying the groundwork for why I became so passionate about this specific incident. Whereas, you know, when Goldberg got concussed in his match with The Undertaker, I didn't see it live, so I couldn't really comment on it. And I don't watch the Saudi shows, so everyone was saying, like, oh, Bill Goldberg got a concussion and whatever. Like, I didn't watch the match, so I wasn't kind of privy to everything that was going on. And now, like, I look back and I'm like, damn, they should have stopped the match. Like, what is going on? And that's just common sense. You stop the match when somebody's, like, knocked out like that. And Matt Hardy was actually unconscious. So when you're unconscious after a blow to the head, that's a concussion. You might not necessarily have symptoms when you wake up from that knockout, but you've sustained a concussion when you get knocked out. That is a concussion. So for what I heard from Tony Khan the day after, he tweeted that Matt Hardy was sent to the hospital. Let me bring this up real quick. I don't want to say this word for word so I don't miss anything. So the day after All Out, Tony Khan tweeted an update on Matt Hardy. It's great news. Matt's okay. We sent him to the hospital as a precaution, and he's passed the MRI and CT scans. He doesn't have a concussion, and he's being driven home now. Matt will be at Dynamite on Wednesday night to thank you amazing fans for your support. I had a huge problem with that phrase, he doesn't have a concussion. Now, that's probably what he was told, what Matt Hardy was told. Because I can't see Tony saying that without being told that he didn't have a concussion. And I got to imagine it came from Matt Hardy himself, because I don't think Tony Khan's that stupid to post that without speaking to Matt first. So, and I hope I'm right about that, because I like Tony, I do. But this just really rubbed me the wrong way, and I've been going at him kind of on Twitter a little bit. So it got me to thinking, you know, I reached out to my friend, athletic trainer, and he knows a lot of the ins and outs. My mom was a nurse. You know, like, I know a lot about this. I've done a lot of research about it. And I'm like, but wait, when you're knocked out, like, you suffer from concussion. So I did research, you know, just to make sure that I wasn't, you know, wrong. And any time like you suffer a lights out or anything like that, like you sustain a concussion. So the whole thing with Matt Hardy is, okay, maybe he didn't have concussion symptoms, but that doesn't mean that he won't experience them in the days to come. He could not, but he also could. So everybody started apologizing to Tony Khan because the match was restarted Saturday night, 4 or 5 minutes, something like that, after Matt Hardy was knocked unconscious, after they stopped the match. Thank goodness for Aubrey Edwards, who held up the X, and then I guess Tony Khan originally decided to stop the match. The right decision was made. They were showing highlights, like Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone, they Excalibur, they weren't sure where to go from there. And so they started showing highlights of why the match had, ended prematurely. And they had a stipulation and everything. But as we know, in pro wrestling, stipulations don't mean anything. So you stop the match, and Matt Hardy, you don't leave AEW. Like, they right away around that. So sticking to a stipulation in a pro wrestling match when somebody's seriously injured is the dumbest thing you could possibly do, especially nowadays when we know so much. And I'm not blaming Matt Hardy for that. I'm blaming the doctor who cleared him of a concussion 4 minutes later. I don't know any concussion protocol that takes place within 4 or 5 minutes where you can actually clear somebody. I know a lot of the ones in the NFL nowadays, they take, at least 15 to 20 minutes just for tests. You don't see players come back for another half hour, maybe, if they're cleared of a concussion. But that's symptoms. It's not an actual, a concussion occurs no matter what, but it's the symptoms that we look at. Matt cannot stand clearly. He was wobbly. He fell again when he was trying to continue the match the first time before the match was called off. He fell again, and it seemed like he hit his head on the concrete. So that's a second blow in, 2 or 3 minutes since he was knocked out. So that pissed me off too, and nobody's talking about that. They're just talking about the bump that Matt Hardy took through the table where he hit his head and he was unconscious for almost a minute. I think Brian Alvarez timed it. It was 44 seconds where he was completely unconscious before Aubrey Edwards started counting, because it was like a last man standing type match. So, Matt was out. And then you have guys like Dave. Go ahead.
He counted 44 seconds. I do recall that.
Yeah. So, and I don't see eye to eye with Brian Alvarez about a lot, because I think he's kind of just a troll at this point. But I do respect him for kind of going all in with this, because I think I'm just so passionate about it because I saw it live. And, I saw Matt Hardy unconscious and then having them restart the match 5 minutes later to have them climb a scaffold type thing just for the finish when it was clear Matt Hardy was not okay. Having Tony Khan say that the doctor cleared him and that was fine, it really did not sit well with me. And then having everybody kind of go at Tony, like, well, it's clear he had a concussion, blah, blah, blah. Tony says, the next day he doesn't have a concussion. Then everybody apologized to him. And I'm like, why don't we as wrestling fans do the research ourselves? It was clear he had a concussion. It was clear as day. And whatever this doctor cleared him of, I don't even want to know the conversation that took place, because Tony said what he had to say as the owner. Doctor cleared him, whatever. But what was going on in that 5 minutes? That's what I want to know. How could the doctor look at what happened and clear Matt Hardy to continue that match? Because last night, and this is the reason why we're, part of the reason why we're recording this on a Thursday night, because I wanted to see what Matt Hardy said Wednesday night. I started work again, so I had to get up early, so I didn't know when we'd be able to record on Wednesday. I wanted to see what Matt Hardy said on Dynamite last night. And lo and behold, it was just, thank God, it was just like a regular promo, thanking the fans for their, concern, saying that he'll be back, he'll recover 100%. Recover from what? He admitted that he wasn't cleared yet for ring action. So why is he not cleared? is because he has a concussion, and nobody wants to say that because Tony Khan said he didn't have a concussion. And I think ever since Saturday night, every single day, I kind of look for someone to kind of take him to task, a respected wrestling reporter to take him to task for that, because I'm so passionate about it because I saw it with my own eyes live at the same time everyone else did. And everyone else is sitting here apologizing to Tony for, you know, saying, oh, I was wrong, he didn't have a concussion. It's like, no, you were right. And, like, stop apologizing. And then someone like Dave Meltzer would be like, oh, well, Tony said he didn't have a concussion, that Matt Hardy didn't have a concussion, and not doing more digging into that. And it just really bothered me. One of the few, I try not to take the wrestling industry so seriously because it's such a cartoon and a circus at times. We'll even get into that a little bit later, too, of why it is. But I was at a point where I was just kind of looking for somebody to be like, no, like, he had a concussion, so what exactly happened in those 5 minutes? Like, why did the doctor clear him? And nobody pressed Tony on that. Nobody pressed AEW on that. Dave Meltzer took a Tony Khan statement that Matt didn't have a concussion at face value. And, you know, I even tweeted to him. I was like, well, by definition, once you're knocked out, you suffered a concussion. Matt might not have concussion symptoms, but, you know, the CT scans and the MRIs are not going to tell you he has a concussion or not. They'll check for other brain damage. And thank God there doesn't seem to be any issues with Matt Hardy at this point, but he suffered a concussion, and nobody is saying anything about that. And I still don't understand why. You know, this is 6 days later, five or six days later, and everyone just kind of is like, okay, they're past it, and I'm not past it, and I don't understand why it's okay for something like this to happen. You know, people should have taken Vince McMahon to task for you know, Goldberg continuing the match when he was concussed with The Undertaker. Even in 2014, 6 years ago, The Undertaker got concussed in that WrestleMania match against Brock Lesnar. Like, something has to change in wrestling. And neither company...
Here's the big difference between Taker and Goldberg and Matt Hardy. They were still conscious throughout.
Right. Right.
So at least that's the difference, at least. They were still conscious. Enzo in 2016. He got concussed.
Yep.
He was unconscious. He was out.
Yep.
And they ended the match
right
away.
That was scary because his eyes were even open. And it looked like he stopped breathing for a second. I remember that vividly. And even nowadays, and somebody pointed out, like, Johnny Gargano a few weeks ago on NXT, they stopped the match, but I didn't see that. I didn't watch that NXT. And apparently they stopped the match because somebody suffered a concussion. So, I mean, I could be, like, I hope I'm not wrong about that, but I did read about that, you know, just scrolling through. So maybe WWE has kind of changed in that when, you know, you're clearly, obviously, visibly concussed that you stop the match, and hopefully that's their main policy now. Matt Hardy was unconscious for 44 seconds. You stop the match. You make sure you take him to the hospital right away. Doesn't matter if he says he's okay. It doesn't matter. Rebby Hardy tweeted the next day, it was 1,000% a concussion, and he's still undergoing tests. And, I mean, she was in the crowd at Dynamite last night. What I would give to be a fly on the wall between on the conversation between her and Tony Khan. But it just really bothered me that we're still not at a place where... And I don't want to say it's bias, like anti-WWE bias or pro-AEW bias. It's just reporting. Matt Hardy was unconscious, and he was told, we were told that he didn't have a concussion, and we're just supposed to take that at face value because it was a statement from AEW's owner, Tony Khan. And I think that's the biggest thing that bothered me, and that's why I was so passionate about it this week and talked about it every single day. And I'm going to continue talking about it. I'm going to continue bringing it up because that can't happen. Nobody would just take that statement at face value from Vince McMahon and just be like, oh, well, Vince McMahon said Matt Hardy didn't have a concussion, so that's that. Like, nobody would do that, and rightfully so. So that's why I'm so bent out of shape You know, it's not fair to Matt Hardy, but at the same time, you know, Matt Hardy's probably the guy, after he was cleared, he's like, let's restart. I'm sure Matt Hardy has that in him because he wanted to give Sammy Guevara, you know, like that moment. But he's also smart enough at this stage of his career to understand, stop it. There will be another day for you. Just make sure you're okay. And the rest of this pro wrestling doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So I think I'm done at that point, but I just wanted everyone to know that Matt Hardy suffered a concussion. No matter what anyone tells you, a medical professional will tell you that, you know. And I even saw people say that, oh well, I will take the advice of the doctor, or the doctor cleared him, so I'll believe him over you. And you know, that's fine, whatever. But you clearly know it was the wrong thing. You clearly saw Matt Hardy was concussed, so you have to live with that. You have to live with, just be like, okay, I'll believe the doctor over you. But you saw Matt Hardy hit his head twice on the concrete, and he was clear he was concussed. So I'm not going to get in an argument with anyone over that. It's Matt Hardy had a concussion. So just say that. I don't understand, like, why Tony Khan had to say he doesn't have a concussion. Like, he'd be like, he doesn't have concussion symptoms. And that's a whole other thing, but he sustained a concussion because he got knocked out. It's a brain injury, brain trauma. So there, I've kind of said everything I wanted to at this point. All right. So
let me ask, you said you talked to somebody. Mm-hmm. Who did you talk to again, and what did they do?
So my friend's an athletic trainer, but you know, he for high school sports, obviously he can't do that now. So he's working in a hospital. But he, you know, studied medical since, 20? I think he graduated in 2010. So from, like, 2006, 2007 to 2010, 2011. And he's getting his master's and everything. So he knows more about head injuries than I do. So I ask him a lot of stuff about, like, potential things. I don't take his word as the be-all, end-all. That's why I asked him first. I even sent him the video of Matt Hardy being knocked out, and he was like, oh yeah, total concussion. And then he had like a list of, you know, well, he can't stand up, like he's knocked out, stuff like that. And then I went, you know, other research. I didn't just say, oh well, my friend said it, so there you go. I did other research, and they said concussion symptoms, you know, are different than actual concussion. Like, you can still sustain a concussion without being knocked out. So anytime you are knocked out, it's a brain injury, obviously, like boxing, it happens in boxing, like all these things. And that's technically a concussion. When that happens, that is a concussion. Now, you might not have symptoms when you wake up, which would be great. You know, Matt Hardy, I don't know, I guess he didn't have symptoms. So I guess they technically cleared him of a concussion. But that knockout was technically a concussion.
Okay. And I fully hear your friend, who's a medical professional. Well, we still have to be, you know, fair. Maybe, possibly, I guess it's possible that Matt Hardy was knocked unconscious and he somehow did not suffer a concussion. That, I guess it's possible. All right? Because neither one of us are doctors. We're not medical professionals. And I fully believe your medical professional knows what he's talking about. So I'm not here to deny what he's saying. What I'm going to say, though, is that given what we all know about concussions, and again, we're not the medical professionals, but we know more about concussions now, as I think, as a general public, than we did 10 years ago. Being knocked unconscious generally means you have a concussion, right? Like, that's just like, it looked like, and look, it's nothing wrong, I mean, with him having the concussion. I think that's where your main thing, it's not just that he suffered it, it's the fact that Tony Khan came out the next day and said that he didn't, which all the research that I've done has said being knocked unconscious isn't even a requirement to have a concussion. You can be fully conscious and still have a concussion. It could be, it's so many blows to the head that happen that don't register, like don't force a guy to be like on the ground for a long period of time or be woozy. There's so many different types of traumas that can happen. Small traumas that can result in many concussions. So I don't know how that's not a concussion. Like, you know, just knowing what I know, like, just different types of traumas that you can suffer, the small, mini ones. Mm. You know, you look at a football game and a guy could just bang heads with a guy and walk back to the huddle and he's got a concussion. You know what I'm saying? He didn't stumble. He didn't wobble.
Right.
But he kept his composure somehow, but he had a concussion. I remember specifically the wild card playoff game last year when Carson Wentz suffered a concussion. He wasn't unconscious. Mm-hmm. He stayed on the ground for a little bit. You know, you could tell he was a little hurt. You know, and I think they buzz down, because that's what the NFL does. The NFL will buzz down if they think a guy has a concussion. They will buzz down, take that guy out of the game, and test him. And if the guy checks out, he can go back in. But if he doesn't, he's out. So that's the NFL's protocol. Obviously, this is totally different. My main thing, though, let's start from the beginning of this whole thing, is him getting knocked out during the match, concussion or not. He was unconscious for what Brian Alvarez counted for 44 seconds. That match should not have continued. 100%. I don't care if he got back up. I don't care if he was able to keep going. He is a danger to himself, and he's also a danger to Sammy Guevara if he keeps going in that match. And AEW, I guess maybe this is their first time dealing with this type of stuff. They're still a new company. A lot of times they're dealing with a lot of this stuff for the first time. So I'll give them a little bit of leeway on that. But I think from this point forward, they got to be more mindful of that. Because you saw what happened with Darby Allin, too. He got tossed out of the ring in a body bag.
That was terrible. He was probably
knocked
out, too.
Who thought that was a good idea besides Darby Allin? Talk him out of that. Don't let this man get tossed out of the ring, fall blindly inside of an actual body bag. What is wrong with on steps? I think he hit his head on steps.
Yeah, if not, that's, it was damn close. Like, and I think whoever came up and was like celebrating and trying to like continue whatever was happening, like it was clear Darby Allin was not okay.
Even if he didn't hurt his head in some way, he hurt his back or something happened. Yeah. He couldn't protect himself. He's in a body bag. Why would that be a thing? Like, so that was silly. The Matt Hardy thing wasn't as silly. It's just they missed. They really missed, and it's unfortunate they missed. But once you realize that Matt Hardy is out, the match should not continue because he could hurt himself, and he could hurt Sammy Guevara. Can you imagine how terrible it would have been if Matt Hardy wasn't really all there?
Oh, boy.
Fully conscious. Yeah, he's trying to pick up Sammy Guevara for a move or something like that, and he drops Sammy Guevara and seriously hurts that man?
Yeah.
That would have been terrible.
It would have been probably worse than what happened with Goldberg Undertaker at that show, because I saw it after the fact where he tried to pick it up for the jackhammer, and that did not end well. So when they were
Something like that could have happened.
Yeah, and when they were climbing up the rigging, Matt kind of like Sammy kind of had to guide Matt a little bit, because Matt was trying to like get his bearings with his feet on these certain rigs, and Sammy was kind of helping him a little bit. It was subtle and not like Dave Meltzer said, no, that, you know, Matt got up there himself. Like, no, he didn't. Go back and watch it. Matt was being helped, but not physically, but maybe physically, but Sammy was helping him get his bearings up that rig just so Matt can give him that one punch and for him to make that stage dive. And that's not more important than Matt Hardy's health. I'm sorry. That is not more important. I do have an issue with... So I found this earlier today. I guess Bill Apter was talking about this incident, and he mentioned how, you know, he obviously like it should have been stopped or whatever. But let's see. He sympathizes with Khan for being in a position that not many people are in. This is from WrestlingInc.com. He said, we don't know what's going on backstage with the other people. So everybody's probably scrambling with that quick thought. What are we going to do? Why do you have to have that in place? And someone's knocked out and it's clear. And, you know, you make the call to stop the match. That's it. That's the decision.
Well, look,
that's the protocol.
I will empathize the fact that this is their first time doing this. Like I'll give them the benefit of the doubt at least this one time.
Well, how do they not have a plan in place by now? Look, how do they not have
I understand that. I fully understand what you're saying. I get it. But this is still their first time going through this. And as much as I don't think WWE will ever get that benefit of the doubt because they're that major company who has all this stuff in place, AEW still gets that benefit of the doubt. And I'll give them the benefit of the doubt in the moment that they just were, like you said, kind of scrambling and kind of just didn't know what to do. Because, you know, 44 seconds, it's not much time. And yeah, he's clearly knocked out. So you would think, like, get him out of there. But you're probably in that moment, like, just like, oh, is he okay? Is he dead? Like, what's happening? Like, yeah. What's going on? And then you start to see him get back up. It's like, oh, okay, what do we do? Like, I can understand if Tony may not be fully experienced with the type of stuff. He doesn't know. He's not a wrestling promoter, a lifelong wrestling promoter. You know what I'm saying? So in that moment, I'll give him a little bit of leeway. Now, saying that he didn't have a concussion, you can have at it. Like, because I don't see how he didn't have one. Like, maybe at the moment he got tested, maybe he no longer showed symptoms, like you said. But in that moment, when he hit the ground, boom, and was unconscious for almost a minute, again, not a medical professional, I don't see how he didn't have one. But again, I guess I'm wrong. I guess we're all wrong if Tony Khan said that he didn't have one. And this is the thing.
We don't have a vested interest in that. He does, and that's why we're right.
That's 100% correct. That's 100% true. He definitely has a vested interest in it. But also, Tony Khan is also part of a football. His dad owns a football team, mm-hmm. and they own a soccer team. And specifically with the football team, and also with the soccer team too, because concussions happen in soccer as well, especially on headers. But in football, concussion is a hot button issue. It's a big time thing. And we all know when that blue tent goes up on the sideline, it's not good news usually. It's usually like, uh-oh, somebody's hurt. Now, people can come back in the game, obviously, but, you know, obviously concussions are taken very seriously these days in sports and in life in general. I'm giving Tony the benefit of the doubt. He has to know that. I would assume that he wouldn't play around like that. You know what I'm saying? I just hope, because you can't do that in the NFL. You can't. You right. just can't. People will crucify him in the NFL or anybody else in the NFL, not just him, but anybody, if they were playing around with concussions like that. And the whole concussion protocol thing, I don't even fully know the whole thing because I can't sit here and speculate, but I know it's not a simple process. It's like a multi-step process that players have to go through before they clear a concussion protocol. So I don't know the details of it. I'm going to be honest, but you know, he can't fully be that far into the wrestling bubble where, wow, Clyde Hilaire just put a move on somebody in this Texans game. I'm sorry.
Well, the Phillies just lost. The Phillies just lost to the Marlins on a walk-off. I called it 2 hours ago.
I'm sorry, Nick. I'm distracted by Clyde Edwards-Helaire living up to all the hype that people had for him in the offseason. He put somebody on skates in this move, bro. I think it's a safety. Reed. He had the safety. Ba-boom. Ooh, ooh, ooh. He put him on skates. Ooh, that was bad. That was nasty. I would have tore my ACL making that move. He broke a tackle and then put somebody on skates. That's bad. That's wicked right there. That's wicked stuff. All right, but so I thought I got distracted there for a second. I had to acknowledge
that saw the Phillies lose, I was about to be like, "Are you effing kidding me?" But
no.
There it is.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire he's a good player. Let's just say that. I'm just saying that he's a good player. Again, I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt on this one. It's a tough position to be in. In that moment, it's still a brand new company. WWE's been around for years. They have every resource they can possibly have to have all the protocols in place. We've seen them multiple times stop matches for a guy like Enzo, unconscious.
Yeah.
They stopped a match when Daniel Bryan, his arms went limp in the middle of the ring. Couldn't use his arms, even on his kicks. Couldn't use his arms. They stopped the match. Even though I know people like Goldberg, they should have stopped the match with Goldberg. At the very least, he wasn't unconscious. Like, he was still moving around. So, yeah, he was definitely woozy, but, you know, you're not fully sure, especially if the guy's moving around. Matt Hardy was not moving around.
Mm-mm.
But AEW just may not have those. They may have been caught flat-footed in essence.
See, that's the thing. Which is, you're AEW. You're this new company. You're supposed to be everything that WWE isn't. So, that includes these protocols, you know, like that includes taking care of these talents that feel safe. And, you know, WWE has done a good job recently about at least their safety protocols of, you know, injuries. We saw it on Raw. Ivar, you know, suffered a cervical injury, and, you know, thank goodness, you know, they ended the match early, and, you know, he got his help, and hopefully he'll be okay. That type of stuff, you know, that should, I just think they already should have had a protocol in place for something like that. And it almost a year for Dynamite, you know, the company has been, you know, over a year old. If you want to count, you know, May, not 2019 is, you know, their birth with their first technical pay-per-view, but since January of 2019, you know, they were building this company. You know, these protocols were probably being talked about. Like, I don't understand why, and if there was a protocol in place, why did it change? Because you let the match restart, and that's not part of, that can't be part of the protocol. It can't.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm just saying that either if they did have the protocol, they just didn't react fast enough, which they got to do next time, or they just didn't have it ready to go. Right? Like, sometimes in that moment, things are happening. There's a million things going on. I do sympathize with people in that moment because I've, you know, been at sporting events and behind the scenes at different events, and things are happening so fast and you got to make a snap decision. Yeah. It's really easy to say after the fact what you would do, but in that moment, sometimes you just get caught flat-footed. Now, I will say they should have a protocol in place that if that happens, it's automatic. But this was like their first instance of it. So maybe it's not automatic yet. I don't know. I tell you, from this point on, they damn well better have it in place. This should not happen again where somebody's unconscious, visibly unconscious for a long period of time and not selling. Clearly, he wasn't selling. He's unconscious. That should not happen again if you're AEW. Because they got to take the mindset of they got to protect the performers from themselves. I don't blame Matt Hardy for continuing. He's a competitor. He's a worker. He's going to try to keep going. I think 99% of people in that same situation would have done the same exact thing he would have done.
Yeah,
but it's up
to
the promotion. It's up to the medical professionals to protect them from themselves. The same thing happens in football. When a guy is concussed and he's not allowed to go back in that game, the medical experts will take his helmet away. They will hide his helmet from him so he does not go back in that game. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the extent they will go to. They'll tell him, hey, no, you can't go back in. But if he's still dogged and trying to go back in, they will go as far as to take his helmet. And that's it, because you only get one helmet. There's no backup helmet sitting around, and nobody's going to play without a helmet. You're not allowed to play without a helmet. The referees won't let you. So, you know what I'm saying? So you got to take that type of approach. I'll give you a little bit of a pass this time. It's a bad look. I'll give them that. That match should have been stopped. But I'll give them leeway for just this one time in that moment, saying, oh, we don't know what to do. This protocol, we haven't experienced this yet. We don't necessarily know how to react in this moment. Now, after the fact, what you said about the tweet and him not having a concussion, mm-hmm. like, again, that's fair game. You can pounce on that if you want to, because that's...
Well,
I'd
it's
rather
that,
you just
and then
not say
the people
anything,
apologizing,
say he's okay.
The people apologizing to him, like, you know, they were wrong. I'm like, are you kidding me? And then Meltzer, you know, like the whole, oh, well, Tony says he doesn't have a concussion. Like, who are you talking to? You're not talking to Matt, and you're not talking to Rebby. Like...
Right, that, you said Rebby came out and said he 100% had a concussion.
Right,
and I'll take her word for it too. Like, I take medical professionals, I take her word for it too, because that's his wife.
Yeah,
like, and again, anybody watching can see, like, that man is probably concussed,
mm-hmm.
and people do hold unfairly at times WWE to a higher standard and to a higher pedestal of, you know, doing things right than AEW. AEW is a lot to get away with a lot more than WWE is, because WWE is a more established company. AEW is a new kid on the block. Even after a year later, fair or not, they still are. That's just how it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
But if this happens again and somebody's not unconscious and they still continue that match, yeah, hold AEW's feet to the fire, please. And hold them to the fire now, to be honest with you, but hold them even more so the next time. I'm personally giving them a little bit of leeway, not much. If on a scale from 1 to 100, I'd give him 5% leeway, honestly. Because, again, I understand. It's like in that moment, it's like a snap decisions, and it's happening really fast. You know what I'm saying? It's sometimes not easy to just do it really fast. I understand.
But again,
I could sympathize with that.
A concussion protocol.
But I sympathize more with Matt Hardy
four
his health, too.
Right. I just don't know how
he needed to be saved. He needed to be saved from himself in that moment.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. AEW, I implore you, don't let that happen again, or with anybody else, whether it's Matt Hardy or Sammy Guevara or John Moxley. Because the situation will arise again. This is pro wrestling. People will get hurt. Yeah. Whether it's a concussion or a broken limb or something, somebody's going to get hurt. Y'all got to be on top of this. Y'all can't let this happen again. And this is probably, because it's a head injury, it's the most severe scenario you could probably have. Because the brain is important than, say, your leg. I mean, you could break your leg and come back, but
right,
a brain injury could affect you years down the road. Who knows?
This is how this is
your life.
This is how this affected me. Monday Night Raw, Drew McIntyre attacks Randy Orton like three times, completely owns him. The third time, they're in the back, Claymore kick. Randy Orton looks like he's struggling to breathe with his selling, and I thought like he was legitimately knocked out or something. That's how much like I was ingrained in this thing. I was like, oh my God, like Randy Orton's hurt. Clearly, like nothing came of it, and he was just selling. And but that's like where my head's at. It's like, oh my God, like come on, it shouldn't be this hard to. Like, you don't clear someone of a concussion within 4 minutes. That's how long it took from when they stopped the match to when they restarted. And I'm still baffled by that. That's part of it too. Like, absolutely need a different protocol, because that doesn't work.
It should have happened. That match, let me make this clear. That match should not have restarted. But at the same time, when you're in that moment, and if you're AEW and it's the first time you're going through something like this, you might be caught flat-footed. You shouldn't be, because you're professionals and you know what you're supposed to know what you're doing. But they still might have been caught flat-footed and just like in a state of shock, because you know Matt Hardy, they all know him, they all like him, and he's like unconscious, just like watching like everybody else. That shouldn't be the case though. There should be somebody that can spring into action to be like, oh, let me check on him, not just the official, but a professional, a medical professional, right?
It took him
there,
a while.
Boom, pouncing on him.
It took him a while to get there, too. Like,
yeah, that's just that's a person should be right there off camera, waiting right there just in case. Because, again, this is like a hardcore match or whatever it was, false count anywhere, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. That could happen. There's no mats around. There's nothing but cement. So if they miss that table by an inch, somebody's head can crack the ground. And who knows what happens? You know, something catastrophic could happen. Fortunately, Matt Hardy is still alive. He was on Dynamite last night, as we're recording this on Thursday. So he's on Dynamite last night, you know, told the fans, I'm going to be all right, blah, blah, blah.
I'm
so
not cleared yet. That's what
not cleared
also,
yet.
Like, cleared from what, Matt?
Right. What do you have to be cleared from, exactly? But, you know, eventually I'm sure he'll be cleared and he'll be back at it. But so this time, crisis averted. But that don't mean it won't happen next time. So right. AEW. Y'all got to be on top of this, man. Y'all ain't getting any more leeway from me. Not even the 5% I'm giving you right now. No more. Because y'all are, like you said, they are the number two promotion in the world, really. I mean, them and New Japan.
Are. Yep.
And y'all got to be held to a higher standard than the one y'all held to now. Y'all got too many people in place that know what they're doing. Tony Khan included. He's part of two professional sports franchises. They have medical professionals and medical protocols all over the place. They got people in wrestling that have been in wrestling, for lifelong wrestling fans or wrestlers or personalities, whatever. Too many people in place that know what they're doing for this to happen a second time. It shouldn't happen once, but it damn shouldn't happen twice.
Yep, and everybody that apologized on Twitter to Tony Khan, you make me sick.
Yeah, y'all some suckers. Do not apologize for that.
I think that actually pissed me off more than anything, because, you know, people were sitting there deleting tweets saying, oh, like, you know, I was wrong, he didn't have a concussion. It's like, no, man, like, stop that crap. That's not what we're here for. Like, no groveling, none of that crap. And that really pissed me off. So that's part of it too.
Yeah, that was
sitting here deleting tweets saying, well, it's clear Matt Hardy had a concussion. Like, what are you deleting? Like, do you know what a concussion is, man? Like, come on. Like, stop groveling. So that was part of my anger this past week.
Well, speaking of protecting the wrestlers and anger towards a lack of protection for the wrestlers, let's talk about WWE.
See, we're going to tear AEW up and WWE up on this very podcast. Love it.
Yeah. Let's do it. We're equal.
That's right.
Let's give it both to WWE and AEW, but this time WWE in a terrible, terrible classification of their wrestlers as independent contractors.
What is that?
Because last week, news came out that WWE were putting a stop to their wrestlers using third-party websites to make money. Sites like Twitch, sites like Cameo. Because if you haven't noticed, a lot of wrestlers in WWE stream now. I know, or I have YouTube channels. Asuka has a YouTube channel. I think Baron Corbin might have one. Now Sheamus has one.
Baron Corbin.
And then Twitch. Who?
No, I laughed at Baron Corbin. Watch, he was probably he's probably the most popular one, I bet.
But a lot of people have Twitch. I know Mia Yim, she streams. Paige, Jessamyn Duke, I think, streams. Dakota Kai streams. A lot of people stream on Twitch. AJ Styles streams.
Yeah.
And then Cameo, Big E is huge on Cameo. Okay. Big time Cameo person. And, but WWE said, hey, could y'all put a halt to this in a little bit? Because essentially, WWE is not really a fan of the people who are doing this stuff using WWE's IP, i.e. their names and likeness, to monetarily gain from it. And this started sparked an outrage, because WWE does anything, it will spark an outrage. And most of the time, it's rightfully so. And this time, too. And WWE's kind of response to this was that they're like Disney, and they don't want people using their IP and their, you know, and their intellectual properties without really their supervision or permission, which I could understand from a standpoint of, if you are WWE and you've come up with the character of, let's say, Big E, and he's going out using that name to promote himself. Let's say he doesn't use it for necessarily good reasons. I'm sure he's perfectly fine with the way he's using it now, but let's say in a different world, he's using it for some nefarious means. He's messing up WWE's IP. I guess it'd be like, you know, if somebody who plays, I don't know, I'm trying to think of, a, you know, let's say it's Johnny Depp, and he's Captain Jack Sparrow. Let's say he's using Captain Jack Sparrow as his name to promote himself. Disney might have an issue with that. He doesn't have to, because Johnny Depp is super famous, so it's fine. But that's what WWE, I think that's what they're coming from on that. But it did spark the conversation of, and I think it's a good conversation, of the wrestlers, the WWE wrestlers specifically, and their independent contractor status and their classification. And specifically, somebody who really pounced on this was former presidential candidate Andrew Yang, who was running for president last year. He's running as a Democrat. He did not get nominated, obviously. But he's out there. He's got a million followers on Twitter. And he tweeted a while back that he wasn't a fan of WWE and how they did their independent contractor status. He had a whole thread about it back on September 5th. First one, he said, if I'm not the Secretary of Labor, which he's saying if Kamala Harris and Joe Biden win the election, and they become, you know, president and vice president, which would be dope to have a female vice president.
Yep.
He would like to be Secretary of Labor, but if, you know, if he's not, he'd like to talk to that person. But here's a tweet: if I'm not the Secretary of Labor, I'm pretty confident I'll have his or her number to talk about the ridiculous classification of WWE wrestlers as independent contractors, while controlling their name and likeness for years, even for something as benign as Cameo. Come on, Vince, you've already deprived the folks of breaking their backs for you of healthcare, security, recovery time, retirement benefits, and fair treatment. Loyalties, licenses, and royalties. I can't read today. At least let them make a living off their own names. Many of them need it. I grew up a wrestling fan, and it's been sad to see so many of my childhood heroes pass away early. I'd feel better knowing that they and their families were being fairly treated. I look forward to doing what I can for the next generation of performers. I know how tough it is. Vince, you better hope your old friend Donald wins, because change is in the air and changes are long overdue where your corrupt labor practices are concerned. It would give me great pleasure. The people know. For all the wrestlers who know what you're being misclassified but are reliant on staying on Vince's good side, even because WWE might hire you, I get it. Our job is to make it easier for you to get what you deserve without risking your career. So
that's a long tweet.
It's a thread. many tweets. But again, this gets tweeted out. This thread gets tweeted out to Andrew Yang's 1.6 million followers. That is after, John Oliver did a whole expose, a whole segment of his show. I forget the name of the show off the top of my head.
Last week,
John
tonight.
Oliver. There you go. He did a whole expose or whole segment about this very same thing. And that came after Bailey said that, talked about in an interview with another journalist about how wrestlers travel.
Fox Sports, I believe, WWE. Too. That was on Fox.
Right. That was bad. That's before SmackDown went on Fox. That was to promote SmackDown's airing on Fox. And that went poorly.
Yep.
So it brought about this conversation again. Yeah. The whole third party website thing, I kind of see where WWE's coming from on that. I get it that you don't want people using your intellectual property that you created for, who knows how they're using it. It's not under your supervision. I can kind of see that. But it does not mean that we still can't get on WWE for the independent contractors crap. It's terrible. And Andrew Yang even went on to talk to Chris Van Vliet? Vliet? Is that how you say his name?
Sure.
Chris Van Vliet? Vliet?
Is it Vliet?
Either way.
I would say Vliet.
Shout out to him. He gets great interviews, including one with a former presidential candidate. That's big time stuff right there. So shout out to Chris Van Vliet. Vliet? I can't. I'm sorry, Chris. I'm saying your name wrong. In that interview, Andrew Yang talked about how he's a big wrestling fan in the 80s. He knew about, so you can't say he doesn't know what he's talking about. He knows about wrestling. He's a big fan of wrestling. He said his wrestling for him was a big family, like bonding time for him and his brothers and his sisters and his parents and whatnot. So he knows what he's talking about. And he comes from wrestling background as far as fandom. And he's right. Especially when it comes to just how they're treated. Like, if Big E in particular wanted to go out and make money on his own by some means, whether it's an endorsement or something, he can't without WWE having to clear it first. Even if he uses his real name, probably, he still isn't able to do it on his own. Like, that's totally ass backwards from the way every other form of sports and entertainment does things. If you're a football player, you can get any type of endorsement you want without asking the team. It could be something as big as, like, Zach Ertz. He's got the Charmin deal now. I don't know if you saw that the other day.
No, I did not.
He's got a deal with Charmin now, which is, it's pretty cool for him. He's making some money off of that.
Yeah.
But he's got the big time sponsor. You can have something as big as that. Or it could be something as small as just a paid post on Instagram, like for a vitamin water or a workout supplement or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever that may be, if you're a football player or a professional athlete in general, you can do that, whatever that may be. If you are an actor, you can get whatever endorsement you want. But if you're in WWE, that's not the case. And I'm sure there are some who have the opportunities come their way, and they got to either turn them down or they got to ask WWE first just to get turned down again, which is BS in my opinion.
Yep.
Because they're not supposed to be, they're not employees. They're independent contractors, which means they should be able to do stuff like that. Even if it's under their real name, they should be able to do stuff like that. Now, you're depriving guys of their own potential extra paydays and extra notoriety just for the fact that you can control everything that they do. I think that's wrong. Also, You're depriving them because they're quote-unquote independent contractors. They don't get the health benefits. They don't get the pension. They don't get, you know, they don't have retirement funds. They don't have none of that, which every other professional athlete has. You know, you look at football, basketball, hockey, baseball. They all have collective bargaining. They all have players' associations or unions. And they have all of these things written into their contracts, their labor contracts, their collective bargaining agreements, where they have pensions. They have money going to the players who used to play. They get money every year to cover medical bills and just, you know, just money in general. They have a pension. Even actors, the Screen Actors Guild, they have insurance. They have protections. You can only do certain types of things. You can't just do whatever you want to them. They have protections written in this contract that is law, that's legally binded. You know what I'm saying? But WWE wrestlers for the most, wrestlers in general, don't have this. And it's time. It's long overdue. I know Jesse Ventura tried to start it back in the day, and Hogan said, look here, brother, they're trying to start a union on you, Vince. I say you put the kibosh on that right away, and that's what happened.
And he gave Hogan's, him the rip sign. Ooh.
Right. Who?
Stupid.
You know, Hogan ratted everybody out, but it has to happen. I know it's not necessarily beneficial for Vince McMahon or any other promoter, but look, man, these wrestlers, they got to band together because they are missing out on things that other people who put their bodies on the line less than they do. The only people that can compare are football players. And even then, they're only doing it once a week. You have wrestlers who are wrestling 3 or 4 days a week, when at least under normal circumstances, not now maybe, but when they're running live events, 3 or 4 days a week, they're wrestling. And when they're not wrestling, they're on the road, on their way to wrestle again. Like,
yeah.
That's crazy. And they don't have those protections. They don't have health insurance. Yeah, WWE will cover an injury that happens in the ring. But what about after your time in wrestling? Will you have ailments that you suffered in wrestling that you got to take care of? Who's helping you? What about a pension? You know, when you're done wrestling, yeah, you made a lot of money while you were wrestling, but what about after? What about who's going to protect you then? Football players, you hear about, their careers are only 3 years long and they don't make that much money. And yeah, they don't make a ton of money unless you're a big-time player sometimes. But they have pensions. If you're around the league long enough, you have a pension. You have money coming your way. You have that legally written into the collective bargaining agreement. And that's what every sport. You know what I'm saying? Travel. Oh my God. If there's besides health insurance, stuff like that, the next biggest priority to me when it comes to wrestlers, specifically in WWE, because they're a multi-billion dollar company, I wouldn't really expect this from Ring of Honor or even AEW. But from WWE, yeah, I expect this. Their travel situation is horrific. And prime example is when Bayley did that interview last year sometime, and she told the reporter how they travel, and the reporter was stunned. Her jaw was on the floor.
I think she even like kind of laughed because she almost didn't
believe it. She couldn't believe that people who are on TV once or twice a week, they're on TV once or twice a week, they got millions of fans. They drive themselves from show to show, from town to town. What other sport and entertainment does that? Are you serious? I can tell you right now, without having traveled on a road game myself, okay, I have not traveled for the Eagles for a road game yet, except the Super Bowl, which is obviously the exception. But the players, they travel on charter flights. That means no one else is on these planes. They don't travel commercial. Okay, the same goes, I believe, for basketball and hockey. And I know the WNBA just got that kind of written, their travel rules kind of written into their CBA last year or something like that. But I'm just speaking just for the NFL. I think the Patriots bought their own jet, which is kind of dope when you think about it. I think they have their own jet, or maybe two of them. I think they have two of them, actually. But most teams, they still charter planes. So that means they're the only ones on these planes. They don't have to go through TSA. They do TSA check at like NovaCare or something like that, right? So they don't have to worry about doing that at the airport. They walk right onto the tarmac, which I'm not giving y'all nuclear codes here. We have photo galleries on our site of this happening, of guys boarding the planes for road games straight from the tarmac. So the bus pulls up because they already done TSA. They pull up, boom, they hop right on the plane. They take off. They land in the opposing city. They go to the hotel. They get a per diem. Yes, these million-dollar players, who not all of them are millionaires, by the way, get a per diem, okay? And then they have a bus pick them up from the airport to the hotel, like I said. When they go to the game, bus takes them from the airport to the stadium. After the game is over, bus takes them again. There's no driving on their part. Bus picks them up again from the stadium to the airport. They have a meal, I believe, waiting for them after the game. Okay, they have something waiting for them. To the airport, fly home. They drive home after they get back to Philly. That's it. WWE guys who are comparative to every other professional athlete are underpaid. Okay? If they're making $700,000 a year, they're doing pretty good, where that's like the minimum for most sports. Okay? They're driving themselves from town to town at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning? Sometimes?
That's why you see a lot of guys, they say... need that ride-along content.
Man, look. But that's ridiculous, by the way, because that show sucks now.
Yeah.
But... you see a lot of guys, when they say they work their main events, and they come back through the curtain, no one's there, because everybody's trying to get out of Dodge before it's too late when they're traveling. But you got some guys traveling 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, everything's closed, they got to drive themselves 2 or 3 hours to the next town in a rental car that they had to buy out of pocket. They got to go to a hotel that they paid for out of pocket. What? They get no per diems. Okay, for one, it's dangerous to have them driving late at night because they could be tired and they could have a serious accident. I'm surprised that hasn't happened more often in wrestling. Maybe because they're still coming down from the adrenaline of wrestling, and you know they're just not tired enough. But I'm stunned that somebody hasn't fallen asleep on the road more often, and that in the years and years that that wrestlers have been traveling, and the hundreds of wrestlers that have driven themselves from town to town, that one or two more. I know he died in a car accident. I'm not sure if he fell asleep at the wheel. But either way, I'm surprised it hasn't happened. Say that one more time.
No, I don't know either.
I can't remember off the top of my head. Either way, I'm surprised that hasn't happened a lot over the years. Whereas in other sports, guys don't even touch the steering wheel. Because they don't have to. But yet WWE guys are driving themselves. Now, to me, you can fix this, WWE, if you just either got them a plane that they could fly on from town to town, or at least a bus that they don't have to... because, yeah, guys who have their own buses. Randy Orton, I think, has his own bus. I think AJ Styles has one. Mm-hmm. They got to pay for that out of pocket, though. You got to be a certain status within the company to be able to afford your own bus. They shouldn't have to do that.
That's crazy. For me, that's probably just so they could sleep from town to town.
Exactly. So they don't have to drive themselves. But for me... it's like, all right, maybe everybody, because everybody lives across different parts of the country. Maybe at the beginning of the loop that they're traveling on, have everybody get there themselves, which WWE does pay for everybody's plane tickets. Fair enough. But at the beginning of the loop, everybody flies to where the loop begins. But from that point forward, they hop on a bus or they have a charter flight taking them from the rest of that loop. And once the loop is over... then they get off, they get off the plane or get off the bus and they find their own way home. At the very least, you do that, but they don't. And I think that's ridiculous that the guys who aren't making $10, $12 million a year, like football players are, like basketball players, like hockey players or baseball players, most of these WWE guys are not making $10, $15, $20 million a year. If you're making over $1 million, you're a top guy. So, but these guys who are making in the six figures are still having to pay for their own hotels. And, of course, they're not going to pay for something cheap. They're not going to pay for the Red Roof Inn or some three-star or two-star hotel. They're going to stay somewhere nice because you deserve to stay somewhere nice. But that's money coming out of your pocket. The rental cars, money coming out your pocket. And if you want to, protect yourself from a potential accident, you better cough up more money for that insurance. Now, sure, they might rack up some flyer miles. And they might be able to get some deals on the hotels that way or something like that. They might be Marriott Gold members or whatever. But come on, man. It shouldn't have to come to that. When I traveled to the Pro Bowl earlier this year, I didn't come out of my pocket one time for anything. And I am a nobody compared to like a Carson Wentz, you know, or compared to a Kofi Kingston.
You're a somebody to me, Vaughn.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do. But even I have the benefit of having the company that I work for cover stuff because it's business. So the hotel, the food that I ate while I was out there, the Ubers I took, all that covered. Because that's how business should be. Because I'm an employee and I have benefits, whereas they don't treat them that way. And I think that's ridiculous, because if you don't classify them as employees, if you're the independent contractors, and let them take advantage of those outside opportunities they should be able to take advantage of. Yeah, maybe they don't use, the WWE name that you gave them. That's your intellectual property. Okay, fair enough. But even if they want to use their real names, they should be able to land movie roles. They should be able to endorse an energy drink. They should be able to endorse a sneaker or a shoe of some sort, or a movie or whatever. Whatever the case may be, they should be able to secure a couple bags on their way to the end of their careers. Like, I don't see why that's an impossibility. But WWE, and we've talked about this many times before, it's a terrible misclassification, and I'm glad that people like Andrew Yang, John Oliver, are shedding a light on this, because it needs to be have a light shed on it. And there's going to be it's a thing now that, and this presidential election might have an effect on this, because Andrew Yang is right. If Biden and Harris win this election, you could see either Andrew Yang himself or whoever the Secretary of Labor is, at the request of Andrew Yang, come after WWE on this and challenge WWE on this. And I don't know what the outcome of that would be, but it should be challenged and something should be done about it, because I think it's ridiculous.
I have a huge problem with taking money out of somebody's pockets. And whether WWE wants to try their own version of Cameo, which will fail. Oh, absolutely. I mean, tout anyone? I don't think that was technically WWE's version, but tout
remember
did not
the
work.
WWE Universe site they tried to get up and running?
No, I don't actually remember that at all.
It was like their own version of MySpace. You don't remember that?
No, thank God.
They tried to create their own social media site. I forget what years it was. It's like late aughts, early 2010s, and nobody used it.
Man, they're always on the cutting edge of everything. I will say the Thunderdome's pretty cool, all things considered. But other than that, I mean, WWE is definitely not cool. But if they do try this, I really hope they're not going to take any money away from... I hope the stars that would partake in this are not making less than they would have had they, stayed whatever they were doing on these third party apps, these third party, programs that they were using. Just if they're making the same amount, okay. But I will never, that's when you're taking money out of their pockets, I have a huge problem with that. So if you let them use your intellectual property, but you don't take the money out of their pockets because, God, it's your intellectual property, it's not right. And you just laid it out perfectly. There's nothing independent about this whole thing. These stars can't really do anything themselves except drive and listen to the whatever music they want on their rental car radio. That's about as independent as it gets in WWE. So I don't really, and they're in one place for the rest of this year, so that's not happening anytime soon. But we're talking about years and decades of this happening. It happened in the 80s too, happened in the 70s too, even before WWF became a global phenomenon. Guys did that, wrestlers did that. So Vince McMahon took this professional wrestling sports entertainment conglomerate thing and made it into the global phenomenon, and then started changing the rules. And, you know, that's why I'm kind of, I really want to see a change. You know, AEW doesn't employ independent contractors; they employ employees, and that's a big difference when it comes to, you know, the health benefits and all this. Let's see. Well, hopefully, they have.
Do all the wrestlers get the benefits?
I have no idea. I mean,
I don't know if they do. I know they're.
I don't know if
it's
set yet, but I know
the benefits.
Well, of course, that doesn't surprise me.
But I don't know if the wrestlers all do, because that's a lot of wrestlers.
Well, I know that was a talking point. If they don't do it now, hopefully they. I mean, you would hope by now they did, but if they don't, you know, hopefully it's coming soon and it's not crappy coverage. You know, like, it's this isn't something that Tony Khan cannot afford. You know, they can afford it, and you know, if these executive vice presidents are, you know, as great as everyone makes them out to be, maybe they'll, you know, dock some of their salary to for the greater good of their roster. But again, you know, that's why people want to go there. You know, it's a different feeling. Hey, Rusev showed up. Miro showed up last night on Dynamite and blonde hair, you know. Obviously, ex, you know, disgruntled WWE star. He did another shoot on WWE with the brass ring and everything. That's just common at this point. But it does seem like the people that go to AEW enjoy it more. It is new. It's, you know, about a year now. So, you know, we'll see what happens in another year. We'll see what happens in 2 years. If I the last thing I want is AEW to become like WWE in the terms of how they run things.
I'm mainly on WWE because they're the multi-billion-dollar conglomerate that they are.
Right.
Like, AEW is still a relatively young company, mm-hmm. So I'm not going to hold them to that just yet. They're taking care of the wrestlers in many other ways.
Right, exactly.
As far as like the pay.
Even the people that have gone there.
Competitive in the pay. Right. They're competitive in the pay rates. They're, you know, they have the creativity. They're letting them, you know, be creative as they want to be. So, you know, that's cool.
Sometimes
but
to a
if
fault,
you're WWE and you're the institution that you are, you've been around for 50, 60 years, you should probably, and you're controlling, that's the thing, AEW so far hasn't been the controlling entity that WWE has been. Where before AEW, before the pandemic, AEW is allowing guys here and there to get their own bookings and whatnot and take advantage of those types of outside endorsement opportunities. Where WWE does not, and well, that's why I remember
CM Punk saying that he brought the idea to Vince to start advertising stuff on his, you know, wrestling gear, and Vince didn't go for that. And then Brock Lesnar returns, and then he's got, you know, stuff all over his gear. You know, that's just one example, and that's crap. It really is, and I understand Brock Lesnar's above all. You know, even in 2012. I know CM Punk was still kind of like high at that point, but I mean, nobody touched Brock Lesnar at that point. So I understand it, but I don't, I understand letting Brock have that, but then let everyone else have that, you know, like let them get paid, because the more money they make, the happier they're going to be. I don't know if there's a correlation with Vince thinking, oh, if my talent makes more money doing something else, they're going to leave me. You know,
is
they're
that
not going
to. Is that?
It's not going to replace
that's part
that
of
income. I don't think it's going to replace that entire income, though. I mean, maybe,
I think
maybe,
that's part
maybe
of
I don't know. Maybe I don't know enough about these apps and how much they could really make if they did it full time, like, you know, 5 hours a day, whatever, 8 hours a day for the whole week. Maybe they do make a ton of money, but and a WWE contract's pretty damn good. So I don't know if, you know, they're comparable or not. But I haven't done enough research.
Well, it's good in wrestling. I don't mean it's good in all professional sports, but I think a part of it is, you know, maybe the fear that they might get too big for their britches and they don't need WWE anymore. But it's really just to control. It's really just to be able to control everything that they do. And if you do something, we got to have our hands in it.
Yep.
We got to have some say in it. We gotta
and there's
make
nothing,
some...
nothing independent about that, damn straight.
Exactly, and that's what the issue is. If they're independent, fine, they're independent. Allow them to take advantage of those opportunities and trust them that they're not going to do something crazy to damage your brand.
Right. And I doubt any of them innocent, would. You do have the power to, you know, okay, well, you're fired because you did this and you represent us. Like that, I'm still okay with that. But don't take money out of their pocket because they're wishing somebody a happy birthday, you know?
Right, or they're endorsing an energy drink.
Right.
Whatever. Like,
you endorse Sonic for the longest time. Like, come on.
Players for the Eagles do that stuff all the time. It has nothing to do with the Eagles, though. It's their thing. We may not have an endorsement deal with that energy drink, so we may not retweet it. We're not going to repost it anywhere because it's not our deal.
Right.
But it's their thing. They're allowed to do that. And the same thing with WWE. You don't have to. It's not really, especially if they're not using your IP as far as their name. If it's not Sasha Banks, it's Mercedes, I forget her last name, or if it's not Bailey, if it's Pam, if it's somebody like that, fine. You know, like, I don't see where that's a terrible thing, especially if not using their real names. Mercedes Varnado is Sasha Banks' real name. But if it's Mercedes Varnado endorsing this and not Sasha Banks, which I know most people know her as Sasha Banks, so people might be like, the endorsement brand might not want to have Mercedes Varnado endorse it. They might want Sasha Banks to endorse it. That's what she's known as around the world. But hey, look, if you're an actor, and if you're the guy who plays Rick from The Walking Dead, he doesn't make appearances as Rick from The Walking Dead. He makes appearances as his actual name. So, I don't know. I guess wrestling is different because the lines are blurred a little bit. You know, like, the characters are the wrestlers. The wrestlers are the characters. The lines have always been blurred in that respect. So you don't see, even when WWE people make appearances at, like, Comic-Con, stuff like that, if they're allowed to do it, or, like, what's the big comic convention in San Diego that happens? It's Comic-Con. San Diego Comic-Con. Right. That's the major one. When they make appearances there, they're making appearances under WWE names. They're not their real-life names. Mm-hmm. It's not Austin Woods. It's Xavier Woods. You know what I'm saying? But when Andrew Lincoln goes to Comic-Con, he's Andrew Lincoln. He's not Rick Grimes. You know what I'm saying? So it's always that weird blurred line thing where everything else, people know this delineation between the actor and the character in wrestling. They try very much to blend those two together and create, I don't know if it's a gray area, but to have them to mesh. Because traditionally, that's when wrestling is very successful. Stone Cold Steve Austin probably wouldn't have been successful if he was also Steve Williams at that point outside of wrestling, if he was just Steve Williams. The thing is, he was Steve Austin all the time. Now, granted,
right,
Steve Austin, the character, was pretty much Steve Williams, the person. He's Steve Austin legally now. But at that point, he was still Steve Williams. But he was pretty much Steve Williams, the person. It's just the volume was turned up.
Can you imagine if they were still calling him the Ringmaster and how Vince wanting that money? That's my money, damn it. The Ringmaster on Cameo.
Man, or if Brutus Beefcake has to cough up some money. You know, but, you know, wrestling is a little different. I'll give it that much. But something has got to change. They got to get SAG cards or something so they get those benefits, or they got to form their own union. Something, because I think they're getting a raw deal. They're getting paid, and they're putting kids through college. They're buying houses. They got cars, and they're fine. They're living a good life. Don't get me wrong. Even $700,000 a year, or, you know, maybe if it's $1 million, you can more than survive off of that. But compared to what other athletes and what other entertainers are making, not much. And they can be protected so much better with different benefits and ways they travel and stuff like that. They have so much stuff coming to them that they're owed for all they put themselves through on a nightly basis. They're just not getting. And if you're WWE, if you're Vince McMahon, you don't want to cough that up, because that's going to cost you money to cover all those wrestlers, to at least give them a pension.
Yeah.
Like, come on, you got to do something, or at least change how they travel. Like, because even that could hurt you. Like, the way you travel, you got to travel comfortably. If you're in a car and you're driving yourself and you're not comfortable, like, that could affect your body.
Right.
You know, as much as wrestling. So, or if you're cramped up in commercial flights, even if you're in a business class, or let's say you're a low-level person, you're traveling coach, but even if you're in first class, it's just, no, charter flights, get these people all together at once, they travel together, and yeah, make sure that they can taken care of, man. Take care of your people, man. Like, that should be priority number one. You should take care of them beyond their paychecks and the catering that you give them on TV tapings. Like, take care of them beyond that. And take care of them beyond when they get hurt. You know, take care of them before they get hurt. Maybe that'll help them prevent getting hurt. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just different things that they could do to take care of the people that, you know, in some cases actually break their backs in order to be out there and perform in front of for your product and help you help. They help. They make thousands to help make Vince McMahon billions. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Take care of him a little bit. You're already underpaying him. You might as well, you know, get a nice little plane for him to travel around in altogether. Get some charter flights for him. I'm not saying you got to buy a plane. You know, you can get the charter flights. That's a thing that could possibly happen. Sports teams do it all the time. Like, I don't know. So that's just my two cents on that matter. By the way, speaking of Rick Grimes, this is going to end in 2022. Did you see that?
He what?
The Walking Dead, I should say. Oh. Not Rick Grimes. The Walking Dead will end in 2022 after 11 seasons.
I've watched maybe two episodes total.
Wow.
Just never got into it. I mean, that's one of the things I wanted to get into, and then I watched it, and I was kind of, I don't think it's for me.
I watched the first, like, six seasons, maybe seven. I watched the first, I want to say, three on Netflix, maybe four. And that was binging them, obviously. Mm. Great show. But I gave it up after, like, a while, like, after, like, maybe 2016, 2017. I kind of stopped watching it. It was just, like, just kind of watching the kind of the same themes over and over again. But I will say, if you start it, I recommend it. Binge it, and it's a great show. Like, the first four or five seasons are fantastic.
Well, my next binging experience or project should be Breaking Bad. I do want to go through all that. Mm. I did watch
another
the first
show that I binged.
The first two or three episodes, I believe, I watched, and then I got out of it. So I might have to go rewatch those just so I watched
that on Netflix. I watched all the seasons on Netflix, like, maybe 2014.
Yeah.
After the show that went out the air.
Yep.
Fantastic. I've been meaning to go back and watch it again because I haven't watched it in, obviously, like, 6 years. But I just haven't gotten around to it. Because my girlfriend, she's like, oh, I watched the first couple seasons. I didn't finish it, so I don't want to watch it all over again. I'm like, why not? It's a way for us to catch up, and it's a really good show. So, but, you know, I want to watch it again. So... Yeah, we can watch and compare notes if that's cool with you. But that's another show I've been meaning to get back into. Also got to finish Space Force, got to finish The Office, got to finish Peaky Blinders. I've been into...
I did not watch the episodes of The Office that Michael Scott was not in, so I should probably go watch them. Just to
I haven't gotten to that point yet.
Yeah,
I think I'm on season 5 or season 6, something like that. So,
oh,
I got time.
Spoiler, he dies. No, just kidding.
I'm like, what? He dies.
Never. No one can kill Michael Scott. No one can kill Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy will never die.
Yeah, if he didn't die from that bump he took,
it's just a weird catchphrase, even for a pro wrestler. I'm like, come on, dude. Like, I just, it's so weird because he's eventually gonna die. So stop. Like.
That's messed up.
Wait, what? We're all going to die. Come on.
I know.
Maybe we shouldn't end on that note. We're all going to die. Thanks for listening to episode 251.
Damn, life's a bitch and then you die.
Well, Dallas beat Vegas in game 3, so they're up 2-1 in that Western Conference final.
They're in the Western Conference finals?
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
Dallas Stars can go to the Western Conference Finals? That's pretty cool.
Yep, yep.
Well, would that be the first time since they won it? Like 99?
I don't even remember.
Like
I think they've been there Brett since,
Hall?
But...
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, let's wrap it up for episode 251.
We took AEW and WWE to task on this episode. So
yes.
Equal opportunity bashers.
Exactly. I was just about to say something like that. It's like equal opportunity task takers, but you know, bashers is much cleaner, shorter. You said it way better than I thought about saying it. So
I had it in my mind about a half hour ago, so I wanted to make sure I said it and not save the episode and go, damn it, and then re-edit my voice into it and just be all weird. but I will close it out with some plugs, and you can follow me at Nick Pacone on Twitter and follow us at Shooters Radio on Twitter. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/shootersradio, and you'll be able to find this podcast. I will edit out my curse word earlier in this episode. I wrote down the time where that I said it. So family friendly podcast, as always, on phillyvoice.com and phillyinfluencer.com.
I am at Vaughn M. Johnson on Twitter. If you can't find me there, you might be able to find me out here in these streets. More than likely you won't, but there might be a chance. Also, I got writing on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I'm still writing. I'm out here writing a lot. So check me out there, PhiladelphiaEagles.com. But until next time, for Nick Pacone, I am Vaughn Johnson. Thanks for listening to episode 251 of The Straight Shooters, and we'll catch y'all again next week.
Peace.